It's got a death curse.
So it's bothering me like me.
And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
About the prom again.
I already told you.
Well, I know, but there's nothing to say you can't change your mind. Girls do it all the time.
Why are you doing this?
It's the genesis of a lot of greats. Brian De Palma, Stephen King's first published novel that he gained notoriety. It was because of Carrie that he was able to quit his job and turn into the author that we know.
Miss Finch, you're sending Cassie Wright.
It's Carrie White.
Kids are fucking cruel. I don't care if it's now or a decade ago or three decades ago or a century ago. Kids are fucking cruel.
You eat shit.
If you want to talk about being bullied, I had a bowl cut and my name was Nick, which doesn't rhyme with anything good.
Mama, I was so scared. I thought I was dead. And the girls, they all laughed at me and threw things at me.
And Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak.
The last 20 minutes are just some of the most compelling, 20 minutes we have in all of horror.
It's not just what you did to me, but you just fucked with the one guy that showed me a little bit of decency in my life. Now you're all gonna fucking die.
Friends, we welcome you back to the Horror 101 show for our 53rd episode. Since the world-famous Brian Stewart and myself turned 40 this year, we decided to take a crack at a horror film from the same year, 1976. Now, we've already covered The Omen, so our next best pick from that period was Brian De Palma's Carrie. It's based off of one of Stephen King's first novels. It's got one hell of a cast, including Sissy Spacek, William Catt, John Travolta, Nancy Allen, Piper Laurie, and PJ Souls. Another reason to cover Carrie is because none of us has seen the remake with Chloe Grace Moretz. So we get an opportunity to screen that and compare the two, and we couldn't cover a movie with such a strong female presence without a woman's perspective, so the lovely nude, who's been absent the last few shows, has decided to join us.
Yeah, Cash was saying he wanted you involved to get the women's perspective.
Like, yes, absolutely. And thank you, Nude. Thank you for deciding to join us on this one. We missed you the last few podcasts. But yeah, if we're going to do Carrie, we certainly need a female perspective on this. I think there's some insight coming from, Nude, who happens to be a lady. Let me ask you this. Was there ever a time where you just wanted to burn down the whole fucking school?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
She still does. She's going to go back there now.
Now, it was high school. Even the popular people thought about blowing this place up once or twice.
Carrie. A new film by Brian De Palma. Based on the chilling bestseller. Starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, and introducing John Travolta in his first motion picture role. If you have a taste for terror, you have a date with Carrie.
You know what? I'm going to throw in some music from 1976 to accompany this show, just to give us that 70s vibe. I'm gonna start with Boston.
Sissy
Spacek. Yeah, 76 was another great year. It was like 85. It was another really good year for horror.
Sissy Spacek, Stephen King. It was one of Stephen King's first published novels. It was Brian De Palma's first commercial success movie.
Yeah, one of the few horror films he did, too. He did Sisters
in 73 with Margot Kidder, and I forget who the other lady was. It was Margot Kidder and shit.
It's all the book.
Consult the Oracle!
Jennifer Salt.
Okay, the only
Margot Kidder and Jennifer Salt.
Jennifer Salt.
So I figured, why not do Carrie? I mean, it's got humble beginnings. It's the genesis of a lot of greats. Brian De Palma, like I said, Brian De Palma, Stephen King's first published novel that he gained notoriety. It was because of Carrie that he was able to quit his job and turn into the author that we know. When was the last time you guys seen Carrie? Because it's been at least 10 years for me.
Oh, God. I was working at Jumbo Video when I saw this last.
Yeah. It's been years for me.
I was in high school, so 20 years.
And none of us have seen the remake. No. So it's all the remake is fresh for us.
I'm looking for... The only thing I'm looking forward to in the remake is probably Julianne Moore.
As the whacked-out mom.
As the mom. The overbearing kind of disturbing.
You know what? If I remember correctly, Piper Laurie, who plays Sissy Spacek's mom.
Yeah.
And the first movie was one of the most... frightening parts of that film because she played batshit crazy well, you know, like if anybody's mom, if anybody was stuck with a solo parent like that, they'd be thinking suicide too, man.
Well, the overbearing mother plays well into De Palma because he was often touted as being the next great Hitchcock. That's what everyone thought he was going to be. He was going to be the protege, right?
How wrong were they?
But even still, the overbearing mother plays into that, right? Because that was a running theme.
So what do you think the analog is for Hitchcock for Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage?
No. Oh, way, way off the mark. Although he tried to come back with Femme Fatale, which...
Honestly, Carlito's Way was probably his last great.
That I still contend it was better than Scarface. I thought it was a better film.
I think a lot of people would probably disagree with
that. I know a lot of people would, and I realize it. I don't care, because it was. Screw you people.
You've always strayed from the path, though.
I have. You know what it is? It's that I don't like any of the characters in Scarface. I have no one to root for. I could care less if Tony Montana lives or dies. But Carlito's Way, there was a character that was trying to redeem himself. He was trying to go straight. He wanted to start a business and a new life. And he was just trying to scrape together enough money to get the fuck out of town. And that, I could get behind.
Basically, it was Al Pacino once again going... Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Se avance al esfuerzo y al heroísmo de una revolución. No los queremos, no los necesitamos.
The only problem I have with this is that obviously we're not going to. There's four Carrie movies. The original, they made a sequel in the late 90s called Carrie 2 The Rage.
I remember seeing the posters for that, but I never,
I'd seen it, but it was kind of forgettable. There was only one cast member from the original movie that actually came back to reprise their role, and that was the only tie-in that they had with the original.
Right.
And then they made a made-for-TV remake in 2002 with Angela Bettis.
I don't remember that at all.
And, well, I haven't seen that as well, so we're kind of going to nix that. And then we've got this new one that's only a few years old. So we'll watch the old one, we'll discuss it, we'll watch the new one, discuss it, and then I'll have the task... up throwing all this into fucking 30-35 minutes. Right. Which is not easy.
Hit it to Carrie! She'll blow it!
Don't blow it! Carrie, hit it!
Oh, Carrie!
Win a game with her on the team.
Look at her!
You eat shit.
So... the film starts out with a bunch of high school girls naked in the shower. I don't know if we should feel dirty much yet or not.
Implied high school girls in the shower.
Implied jailbait.
Implied jailbait, but they were all 20, 25 or older. Lots of cunts in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of cunts.
Nabush.
Yeah. I totally...
The 70s Bush.
I'm like, you can totally tell this is from the 70s.
Lots of trimmers needed in this film. Nude? How horrific would it be to have your first period in the girls' shower room?
First of all, not knowing what a period is.
Yeah, well, completely ignorant.
Well, let me give you a little bit of personal insight without being too much detail. At a very young age, but I didn't know about it either.
Really?
And I kind of had an idea, but... you know, I was fairly young, and my parents didn't figure I needed to know that at such a young age, but nothing as traumatic as this happened to me, but it was like, I had no idea what the heck happened. It doesn't ebb like that.
I was going to say, that was a gusher for your first time.
There was no, like, it's not like somebody cut a vein or anything like that. It doesn't, like, flow that freely.
They cut a major artery! Dear God.
The depiction of the bullying in the shower room, is that typical? of women in high school at that time?
No, not because I went to high school at that time. I was in school probably a little bit younger than that age, but it wasn't like that. People pretty much were very, very modest. We didn't do the showering back in there, and it was all very segregated. You weren't really exposed to everybody, and nobody was that mean. Nobody was that horrible to each other. It was heartbreaking. I remember watching this movie and thinking, I'm so glad that I don't have friends or, you know, classmates that are like that. I was very, very fortunate.
Can I throw tampons at you?
No, you cannot.
The power of Christ compels you! No. The power of Christ compels you!
It was a hell of a period.
Yeah, the curse of the hag! It was a hell of a period piece. Actually, oh, God.
Come on, grow up. Stand up and be carried. Come on, do it.
From the very beginning, you can tell that Carrie is a sad and lonely girl, but also, she's becoming quite extraordinary.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
I like how she's testing her powers throughout the movie. Just little, making the light go, the ashtray flying off, smashing the mirror.
Is she testing it? Or is she not aware of what's really happening or why it's happening?
That's not very, very clear. But I get the feeling that she's just aware of it now.
But it also seems to be tied to emotional trauma as well.
And it seems to be tied with her becoming a woman. Yeah. Right? Because she just had her period and then her telekinesis breaks in right at the same time.
Did you have telekinesis?
Instant crazy.
Well, her mom was fine. Piper Laurie, I tell you, Piper Laurie, she may have thought that this movie was supposed to be a comedy. She was frightening in this film.
And God made Eve from the rib of Adam.
Mama, I was so scared. I thought I was done. And the girls, they all laughed at me and threw things at me.
And Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Say it.
We'll pray.
No.
We'll pray,
no,
woman.
No.
Pray to Jesus for our lots of saving souls. God
no.
Visiting.
No.
Curse.
No.
This is like
no. Love. No, Mama. No, Mama.
And this
no.
was the second curse. And this was a curse.
If there was ever any wonder why Carrie is the school misfit, we now know. No father and a whacked-out, abusive, Bible-thumping mother is all she's known. Poor girl is ignorant, perpetually terrified, and because of her introversion, she's constantly bullied by all around her.
Creepy Carrie! Creepy Carrie!
Oh. Take that, you sniveling little fuck!
Yeah, it's like, you want to talk about being bullied? I had a bowl cut. And my name was Nick, which doesn't rhyme with anything good.
Spoiler alert!
Let's put this in here right now, okay? We're covering a movie that's 40 years old. This movie is as old as we are. If you haven't seen it, fuck you! There's gonna be lots of spoilers!
At this point, a few wheels are put into motion. The girls' gym teacher forces her entire class into a rigorous physical detention for the week because of the stunt that they pulled with Carrie. Anyone who bails on that detention forfeits their inclusion from the upcoming prom. Sue, played by Amy Irving, feels horrible about her past treatment of Carrie and asks her boyfriend, Tommy Ross, played by William Catt, to take Carrie to the prom. This is a genuine sacrifice she's proposing, offering Carrie a much-needed night of happiness and normalcy.
About the prom again.
I already told you.
Well, I know, but there's nothing to say you can't change your mind. Girls do it all the time.
Why are you doing this?
Because I want to.
No, you're not.
Carrie, now come on. I don't do anything I don't want.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Carrie? You better go.
Not till you say yes.
Okay, I'll go.
Good, I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock.
Where the fuck did William Catt go? I mean, he was in House. Steve Miner made House 1986. He came back for a bit part in House 4 in the 90s. I don't know where the fuck the guy went. He's like Richard Mull, right? Richard Mull disappeared. They're both in House.
He's in a cabin. Maybe went to voiceover work. That's what Richard Mull did.
Actually, I was looking at his IMDb. He still acts. He's been in a lot of B-shit lately.
Yeah. And then we've got Chris Hargensen, played by Nancy Allen, who decides to tell her teacher to go fuck herself. She's out of the prom, and it's all because of Carrie White. So what does the little narcissistic bitch do? She's going to talk her boyfriend, played by John Travolta, into pulling off a scheme that will guarantee that Carrie never forgets her senior prom.
I want you to do something.
What?
Something important. Billy, I hate Carrie White.
Who?
Ventriloquist blowjob, that's not interesting.
How the fuck do you talk while you're giving head to John Travolta? Come on. How the fuck do you do that?
I think she was just getting a real close look at a hand job. I think that had to be it.
No,
right?
No. You don't go that close for a hand job.
I was going to say, there's a lot of mental powers, because apparently she was talking directly into his mind while giving him head.
Smack. I hate
Stop. So it's like it's the voiceover while the head's bobbing up and down. That's the thing. It's like, I can see if she stopped and then said that and went back to work, but...
I hate Carrie White. Okay, that's really odd, but keep going.
What's the matter, Willie? We gonna wake up the little piggies, my kind? You know, this is a hell of a risk for a joke, Bill.
You want out?
No, it's a good joke.
You bet it's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
How brutal was it, too, the way in which they extract the blood? You can get blood from a butcher. That is a thing you can do. They don't raise it, because there are certain recipes that call for animal
blood. Blood sausage and stuff like that.
But what do? They go right to the source, break into the slaughterhouse in the middle of the night, and club, not just knocking Peter over the head just, or cut him.
He goes
the blood let him. He goes psycho. Like, he goes nuts.
And she's encouraging it.
Do it! Hit it!
I wonder how Carrie's mom's going to react to her being invited to the prom.
Well, you're not going.
Marty said I would.
Tell that boy you're not going or we're going to move from here.
No.
We'll move from here and you'll never see that boy again. The rain's coming in.
Mom, please sit and talk to me.
I'm going to close the window.
Mama, I'll get him. Please sit and talk to me.
After a demonstration of her new powers, Carrie is seemingly free of her mother's tyranny. Things are changing, and she's going to the prom. For the first time in her life, she has a sparkle in her eye and a smile on her face.
Carrie, we're here. And we're together. And I like it. I do, I like it.
But as many of you already know, that happy ship she's cruising on is not going to be sailing for long.
The last 20 minutes are just some of the most compelling, 20 minutes we have in all of horror. From the moment they start doing the slow motion applause at the ceremony, and how much does De Palma drag that out? I mean, it's excruciating how long it takes, and he knows it, right? Because we're all waiting for it to happen, and the longer he draws it out, the worse it is.
And I think it just catches you off guard. They want you to feel comfortable and relaxed and not get so hyped up and be like, okay, it's going to be fine. We know it's not going to be fine, but the mood is setting you up that, okay, maybe it's not going to be as bad as you expected. Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, are you kidding me right now? Yeah.
Just as we're about to see the gears in motion for the prom scene moment, the bucket of blood, and when you see the one girl trying to stop it, and she sees the rope, and she's putting it together, what's happening, Sue there, and there was that moment when she follows the rope, and she sees the kind of curtain material, and you see the silhouetted hand on the rope. I thought that was so old school. That was like, that black silhouette with the hand on the rope was like, 1920s silent movie kind of stuff. And I actually really liked that. I thought that was nice. But then there's the shock of the bucket hitting him in the head that we don't anticipate, which takes it, drops it to the next level, right?
Not only the bucket hitting him, but the bucket bouncing off of the beam there.
We thought it was safely secured, right? We didn't see what happened.
And then it falls off.
And they kept hitting it.
And you don't see the bucket fall. You just see it come down on his head.
Yeah.
The one guy that actually she kind of fell for was showing her a good time and legitimately was showing her care, and like, this is completely different from anything she has ever known from anybody else. Even her mother is a fucking bitch, you know. All this girl knew was misery, and here comes this guy asking her to the prom, telling her it's all right, everything's gonna be fine, you're dancing good, this, we're having a great time. And then when the bucket comes down and knocks him the fuck out, and she sees him lying on the ground unconscious, that's when okay, it's over. It's done. It's like, forget, it's not just what you did to me, but you just fucked with the one guy that showed me a little bit of decency in my life. Now you're all gonna fucking die. There's a scene where it's just her silhouette and that fire breaking out behind her.
Yeah,
you know, nice. I really like how they did that. Just engulfs behind her. I enjoyed how they did that.
Carrie must have quite possibly the best stare in horror, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Like, certainly the most signature. And those pale blue eyes are so reflective.
And the fair skin and like the red hair, it's just, she's looking at her. You're scared because you don't know what it is that she sees, because she always has this frightened, oh my god, what the fuck look, you know what
and
I mean?
And she doesn't blink ever in that entire sequence.
No. It's like, the way I think of it, it's literally like she's screaming with her mouth closed.
Yeah. Screaming with her eyes, that's great.
Well, what's even better is the contrast after she gets the blood on her face, because then the eyes pop even more.
Yeah.
You see these, you know, pale blue eyes with all the red around.
I'm glad that it got stepped up a notch in the onslaught, how it wasn't just the fire hose, because that would have been pretty tame. I thought, this is pretty 50s horror here, right?
As soon as the one teacher lands against the walls,
get the electrocution, and the poor gym teacher who gets hit by the falling display and just crushed, right? That was probably the most, that's where the graphic violence turned up a bit. I wish we had a more graphic death for John Travolta, and
we know that the car flipped about 50 times.
The car exploded.
Sorry, just like that.
They died too quickly. I wanted to see something a little more graphic.
They crashed and burned, Brian. What else do you want?
The explosion's not very graphic.
And they exploded.
Innocent people got electrocuted. I want to see the guilty party suffer.
He wants to see the pain and the horror in his eyes.
Her school destroyed, her classmates and teachers dead. Complete devastation lies in her wake. Carrie makes her way home on foot, bloodied and bewildered at what she's done. On a personal note, I believe there was only one way for this story to end. Left unchecked, Carrie's power could potentially crack the world in two. She has to die. It really is a tragic tale. And watching her square off against her demented mother in the film's finale is not something you will soon forget.
We'll pray. Yes. We'll pray. We'll pray. For the last time, we'll pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Piper Laurie doing the sign of the cross with the fucking knife and coming after her with that goofy grin on her face, like, I'm doing God's work, I'm gonna kill my daughter. It was just, juxtaposed. You know, it's just like, how could you be doing this? How could you even conceive of this? And you're happy about doing it.
Yeah.
You know, because in her warped mind, I'm going to kill the devil. My daughter's a witch. This has to be done kind of deal. And we're like, fuck. What? And just that waving the knife back and forth as she's bearing down and the camera's looking up at her as she's kind of swinging it back and forth. And at the same time, poor Carrie, who's just gone through all this shit, is like huddles herself deeply into a corner trying to get away from this woman. And then it's just like, okay, either I protect myself now or she's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Boom. And then you guys point out that the wounds she has matches the wounds on that statue of Saint
Sebastian.
Thank you. I never noticed that. Great catch. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I like how she's trying to pull her mom away and she's still
stuck
to the... Oh, that was beautiful.
That mom went like right through her wrist, too. It wasn't through the hand. It was like through the wrist.
Trying to bring her mom into the closet, into the one place she never, ever wanted to go. She brings her mom in there.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the only place she can find solace now is in that fucking
and it's where
dark
she was,
praying closet.
Right. It's where she would go for redemption, right? When she was punished, it's where she would go looking for forgiveness.
Right.
So, of course, this woman she's just killed, where else is she going to drag her in that house? But I had also inklings of Poltergeist in this ending. The house collapsing in on itself.
Yeah.
I thought, I wonder if, you know, they were inspired.
I believe, now, okay, this might be blasphemy, but I've never read the book. The ending to the film is different from the book. Apparently in the book, the house is supposed to be taken out by, like, flying boulders coming out of the sky.
Okay.
And it was a little bit different. They tried it. They tried it for a day, and the effects people went to the Palma and said, we can't do it, I'm sorry. And he's like, okay, then burn it down.
I did like that you could see it sinking into the earth. I thought that was neat.
Nude, we got to give a shout out to who?
Oh, yes. One of our listeners. We had posted that we were podcasting tonight, and some of our fans were trying to guess what it was, and one of our guests guessed correctly. So I promised I would give out a shout out. So to Pete Harrison.
Fuck you, Pete Harrison! How dare you? How dare you figure out what we're doing this evening?
Anyway, hey Pete, and Pete's from Tucson, Arizona. He's one of our loyal listeners, among others, I'm sure.
Tucson!
And we wanted to say, hey, how's it going?
Apparently he wants a shirt. If we do swag, he's in.
I said I am currently working on that to get some sort of swag, t-shirts, hats, and the like. So
Where's our shirts?
I'll keep you posted.
we don't have shirts.
You will have shirts first, Brian.
All right.
What do you say? He's like, yeah, if you have 4XX, 4XL or something like that. What'd you say? I thought you said Drupal XL. Drupal XL. We'll make sure that we get quadruple XL. Pete, if Nude's on it, it'll happen at some time. Trust us.
I'm not Eve, Mama. I didn't sin.
You showered with those other girls. You had lust-filled thoughts.
Everyone has to shower, Mama. Everyone.
No,
that's
no,
just the rules.
You must be different because he can see
I don't want to be different, Mama. I want to be like them. I want to be just like them.
And he will punish you.
We had high hopes for the remake. We really did. All of us are big fans of Chloe and Julianne Moore. Unfortunately, in our opinion, the 2013 version of Carrie was a big letdown. The story is almost a carbon copy of the original. A lot of the dialogue is almost verbatim. It's that close. One of the few changes they made, which we enjoyed, was including the birth of Carrie at the beginning of the movie.
The entire time I'm thinking, poor Julianne Moore. She is trying to sell the hell out of something that we already know 90% of the dialogue. We already know the character. And she is really working hard to sell that role.
I liked the beginning was different, actually showing the birth of Carrie. You know, that was a little bit different. Even right. At that time, she was a religious nut. Oh, what is this cancer? What is... It's a test. I must kill this child with scissors. I love her. I love her.
Scissors were like 3 feet tall.
A fucking scissors the size of your new
garden shears.
Do you keep those by your bed at night?
I know, cutting board with her chopping carrots like a maniac. Mm-hmm.
Cutting the carrots in
must
half.
Must destroy phallic symbols. Yeah. What is that, zucchini? Fuck you!
I'm not gonna run another goddamn inch because Carrie White got her period and was too stupid stupid to know what it was. If we all stick together, they're not going to suspend all of us. They're not going to keep us all from prom. There would be no prom.
And what's with the fucking spray tan Lindsay Lohan as the main bad girl? She replaces Nancy Allen in this one. Who the fuck is she? Who cares? Who gives a fuck who she is? I don't care.
She looked like a Kardashian.
She looked like a spray tan. She was fucking orange. That bitch was spray tan.
The icing on the cake for Carrie is the prom night massacre. Again, in our opinion, the director dropped the fucking ball at this point with another CGI circle jerk.
So instead of Carrie, we get Magneto.
That's pretty much.
That's horrible. Subtlety in Hollywood I've known has been dead for a while, but good God, have some tact, would you? They gave her the demonic black eye thing, which really pissed me off, because Sissy Spacek's pale blue eyes staring blankly towards the camera was more terrifying than any CGI element in this movie.
You know what, I have to agree. The whole fucking Harry Potter hand gesture fucking thing, I think
she was an X-Man.
Exactly. You know, you can hear things bending.
It was the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. But in this one, it was like Carrie was relishing what she was doing. Like, she was. Yeah,
I didn't like the smiling at all.
No.
She should have been in shock the entire time.
And that's what. I think De Palma directed Spacek correctly. Just give me wide eyes and just look around. That's all you got to do. That's like, all she had
she
to do.
She was completely unaware of the devastation she was causing. She was just a force of nature.
She was enraptured by it.
I understand a bit about physics, and if they're going to turn that scene around, and they did, what happened? They're barreling it at this girl, okay? And through her telekinesis, she stops the car dead. So it goes from, say, 80 miles an hour to zero. Those two people should have been fucking liquefied in that vehicle. Like, his head should have fucking come apart. He should have split open like a melon and been butterflied. His head should have been fucking butterflied. That's what they should have done.
Well, you heard the crack. You heard the face crack and the nose.
No.
It killed him instantly.
It should have went
like
that. That's what should have happened. And then his girlfriend there, fucking spray-painted Lindsay Lohan, should have been like, come out of her stupor, look over and see fucking concave fucking head boyfriend. And go, oh my God! Oh, person, I forget your name! Oh, what happened? Oh, it's so horrible! That's what I wanted.
But then she's able to try and drive the car. That car would not be in a drivable state. That engine block would be destroyed. How does that thing still turn over?
The only points I'll give this movie is them actually pelting the house with the rocks, because that was the original Stephen King story.
Yeah.
That, and it's hinted at in the beginning of the story, it's hinted because like pebbles or something are falling on the house at some point, got a foreshadowing of what's to come. But in the end, the house is destroyed by just boulders falling on it.
Yeah.
You must renounce this power. You must give it up. You must never use it.
Ryan Stewart, let's start with the original. Score the first one.
The original? I think it's more relevant today than it was back in its day. And it still holds true. Some minor pacing elements, but especially if you look at it as a straight horror film. It's not paced like your typical horror film. There's certainly a good half of the movie through the middle where it stops being a horror film altogether and it goes back to your typical kind of teenage romantic comedy almost.
Right.
You know, but... the last 20 minutes are just some of the most compelling, you know, 20 minutes we have in all of horror. So for me, I think it's going to be a solid, I'm going to give it an 8.5.
8.5 from Brian. New?
These are godless times, Mrs. Snell. I'll drink to that.
My score for the original is 8.5 as well. I just liked, like I said earlier, I liked every single part of that movie. Nothing was amazing, but everything was good. In my eyes, consistently good. And good for that time. And it, like Brian said, it's still relevant even now. The bullying, again, like I mentioned, it's not to that extreme. Things are not as dramatic, but I think that's what the movies are for, just to embellish certain points and situations. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been a while. I'm glad we did it.
What is the big deal?
Because it is a very big deal for Carrie White, and you know it.
Neek.
The original, I am going to score it an 8. Just because I agree, second act had some pacing issues, but the first and second, there was a lot more honest character development in this one. Like, I just got the sense that you actually got a better sense of who the characters were, and the second one didn't have nearly as annoying a smiling henchman as the original.
Like PJ Souls.
Exactly. Like, it is PJ. You love PJ. But in this one, you wanted to smack her.
We got hugs from PJ Souls.
I know.
Well, we'll send her home. Miss Finch, you're sending Cassie right.
It's Carrie White.
I'll give it an 8, and I buy Sissy Spacek. I mean, because she's got a genuine homeliness to her, you know? Yeah. In the end, when you get the dress on her and her hair's all done, she's fairly attractive, but I could buy that she'd be the homely kid at the back of the class that nobody liked. I could buy that. I couldn't really buy that with Chloe. You know what? I had my fair share of individuals that bullied me. I'm sure most people probably had a few episodes of bullying because kids are fucking cruel. I don't care if it's now or a decade ago or 3 decades ago or a century ago. Kids are fucking cruel. And if you're on the wrong side of the stick, you're gonna be put in a situation where people are laughing at you, picking on you, whatever. And there were times growing up where, had I had the power, people would have fucking suffered.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a story where somebody in that position has the power. You know, like, you know what? You think this is funny? I've had enough. Fuck you. That's what Carrie is.
This isn't over. This isn't over by a long shot.
You're out of the prom, Hargensen. Okay, the show's over.
And there you have it, another classic horror flick getting some love from the Horror 101 crew. Brian De Palma's Carrie, starring Sissy Spacek, William Catt, Nancy Allen, Piper Laurie, John Travolta, the list goes on. You may think twice about bullying that undesirable at the back of your class after you see this one. As for Kimberly Pierce's 2013 remake, it's a thumbs down. You know what? We didn't hate it, but it was just unnecessary. Most of the cast was weak, and the effects might have looked good on paper, but the execution was poor. It was a disappointment. If any of you listeners feel differently, please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at horror101.ca. Remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Be sure to join our Facebook group for all your Horror 101 updates. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the pants off you. We're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
Don't bleed all over the toilet, Helen.
Don't piss her off. You'll get like...
She's going to come down and cover me. Trust me, if she had telekinesis to come get me, I'd have seen it by now.